this. They helped us just now, and I appreciate them helping. Alexis, is that right, honey, Alexis? Good to have that. I want to get it right, honey. Thank you, because most people would just let old Brother Eddie call him Alexa, and they would have never said Alexis. So I need that. How you spell that? E-L-E-X?
A-L-E-X-I-S.
All right. I need help with that, too. A-L-E-X-I-S?
Yes.
Thank you, Jade. I'll tell you right now, I wish I had 100 Jades. Now, I don't know if y'all picked up on this yet or not, but she gets involved. Now, as a pastor, I'm constantly looking for people with that kind of an attitude that want to step up to the plate and say, here am I, send me, or here am I, what can I do? And that's the kind of spirit Jade's got, and I commend her. She's got that first hand up. She's got that, you know, she led Alexis up here. Who was in the front when they came up here? Jade was, wasn't she? And then Alexis come right behind her. I like that. I look for that. I haven't been pastoring very long, but I have learned what to look for. All right, let me say this morning, good to have everybody here this morning. And we'll be preaching this morning out of St. John chapter number 8. If you want to get your Bible out there, St. John chapter number 8. And I hope everybody's had a good week. And the Lord, He can make your week good. I don't care how bad it gets. I find out God can make even the bad good. As a matter of fact, I think I'll stop and sing a song. Now don't pass out on me. I've been wanting to sing this song for a long time, and I just said that. The Lord pricked my heart and said, I thought you were going to sing it this morning. And I ain't no singer, and y'all amen that, if nothing else. But this song is so true, and it's true in my life, and it's true in your life. If nothing else, just listen to the words of this song. Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams. When I go to sleep each night, though I've had my hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see, I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. God's been good. Amen. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams. When I go to sleep each night, though I've had my hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams. When I go to sleep each night, though I've had my hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Boy, that song is so true. And yet I still catch myself complaining from time to time. I don't mean to. I do it out of habit more than anything. Well, God has been good to Eddie Wade, and if you'll be honest, God's been good to you. St. John chapter number 8, thank you for bearing with me. I've had that in my heart for some time to do. Now that I've done it, I feel better. I ain't much of a singer. That's a hard song to sing. Starting verse number 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. Now, anytime the Lord's in the temple, people will come. That's why I want Jesus to be here at Cornerstone. It's more important for Jesus to show up than for Eddie to show up. And a lot of churches make a mistake of putting more confidence in the preacher and more emphasis on the preacher than on the Lord. And I want to be careful that that's never true. And I hope it's always true that you really realize the reason we come to church is because of Jesus, not because of Eddie or anything else. But as He sat down and taught them, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they, don't miss this, I just got this myself on the slow train. I am a little slow. But Sister Gayla noticed this. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself, and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We'll stop right there. I want to preach today. If God would help me, please pray for me. When sinners judge sinners. Lord, we love You this morning. I thank You for the inspired, infallible, inherent Word of God. And Lord, it's not outdated. Lord, dear Father, it's more applicable today than ever because, Lord, it's more needed today than ever. And I do pray, dear Father, today You bless the preaching of Your Word. Bless me, dear Father, today that I might be able to speak the things, Lord, You've laid upon my heart with great plainness of speech. Lord, we're all guilty of being rock throwers. But Lord, I'm glad that You was willing to do something others weren't willing to do. And I pray You'll help us to have that spirit even here today. And Father, we pray to be more Christ-like, to be more conformed to Your image than ours. And I do pray, dear Father, today, if there be any lost here today, that today they'd realize that You love them, that Your hand reaches out to them. May they realize, Lord, the great love You have towards sinners. May they realize, Lord, also, Lord, the envy and the strife that others have one to another. Help us, dear Father, today as we do our best. It's for Your praise and glory we ask it. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Now, let me get wired up here. I just realized I hadn't plugged in here. Not that I ain't loud enough without this, but I want to get a good recording. Because some of the things the Lord put on my heart today actually go beyond these four walls. And I want to do my best to address them. And when I say that, I hope you understand Man of God is the preacher's boss. He tells me what to preach. He tells me how to preach. Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. If God doesn't give the ability, there'll be no preaching. But the Bible puts us all into this category that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 30, that was Romans 3:23. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 1 says that we add sin to sin. In other words, we don't really help in matters of sin. We make it worse. And I will elaborate more about that here in a minute. In Romans chapter 3 verse 10, it says there's none righteous, no not one. Verse 12 says there's none that doeth good, no not one. But we got plenty that are like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 verse 11 that will say, I'm not as other men, or even as this publican. Verse 12, I fast in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We got plenty of that. And we got very few that say like the publican in verse 13, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Peter told Jesus in Luke chapter 5 verse 8, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 15, Paul said, Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We've got people that know they're sinners. We've got people that think they're not sinners. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're either a sinner saved by grace, or you're a sinner in your sin, and you need to listen this morning. Now, when sinners judge sinners, death will follow. This week, today, is March the 17th. This week, March the 13th, 2013, a 25-year-old Pakistani man was stoned to death publicly. And the woman is to be shot publicly, soon to be. Now the reason for that is, she was a spouse to another man. They do things different than we do over here. Man, I courted my wife going on 2 years, Charlotte, before I ever got her to put any confidence in me. I don't know if she made a good trade or not, but she married me. We've been married 37 years, and I do stand corrected. I thought it was 38, Chris, but she told me, she said, we've been married 37. She said, don't put more on me what I can bear. But anyway, I courted her and tried to show her that I was interested in spending my life with her for going on 2 years before we ever got married. Well, this woman was a spouse to another man, and you can't really be Cupid, but don't be stupid neither. She had feelings for this boy. This boy had feelings for her. And what they were going to do was elope. Now, I'm not going to throw no rocks this morning. I'm going to be nice. We've got children here this morning, and I'm going to be really nice. I'll try not to even raise my voice if I can. But the world is got a different mind than the mind of Christ. Jesus said that the devil come but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the difference between their religion and our salvation, is our Lord came in this world to save sinners, and they feel qualified, Chris, to judge sinners. So they stoned this man publicly with his girlfriend, bride-to-be, by right there at the scene, and she had to look as they killed her love. Her friend, I guess it was going to be her husband, her boyfriend. And, you know, that's what happens when sinners judge sinners, death follows. Another couple, and I can't remember, Mosenbaum or something like that, right there, somebody's name I can't say. But they eloped and got married. Keith, their family contacted them and talked them into coming back and said, won't you come back and do it right? And, you know, we'll give you honor, we'll give you ceremony. Well, they was gullible enough to believe that, and maybe when they came back, they stoned them both. They just got a different mentality than you and I do. I mean, I have to admit, I don't want to stone no one. Even this morning, I'm not qualified to throw a rock. But the one that was qualified stooped down and left them standing. And they in their self-righteous indignation thought, boy, we're going to get our way. We're going to show him today that we're above him. For a moment there, they were above him because he was down on the ground. Somebody said, what was he writing, Brother Eddie? Was he writing the Ten Commandments? It doesn't really matter what he was writing. What matters is he stooped down and left them standing. Now, the reason they continued there, Chris, is they thought, we've got him now. They thought they had the upper hand. But the Bible says, don't tempt the Lord thy God in Matthew chapter number 4. And they were tempting him. That's the whole reason they brought this woman, was to tempt him. And they were going beyond where their place should have been. They should have been down sitting like the rest of people and listening to Jesus, because he was what they needed. But like these other countries, they thought they was going to get an opportunity to stone this woman, take a red hand of act of adultery. Now, we all categorize sin, and we think maybe, a little white lie is not that bad. And we think, boy, somebody, went in there at Sandy Hook School, shut all them children, them teachers, boy, that's as bad as it gets. For what it's worth, I'll do my best here to say as kind as I can, Michael Moore wants the crime scene pictures of the Sandy Hook massacre made public. Now, his motive is he wants to confiscate your guns. And in that blindness of his motive, he doesn't really care. But the parents of those children that were mercilessly slain don't want those photos to be publicized. For one thing, they don't want to see their children. Some of those children were shot up to 6 times with an assault rifle. They don't want to see, they don't want those images. They want to remember their children as they were when they had them in their arms. And Christine, you got that little baby today, and that's the way you want it. You want it right there in your arms. You want to love on it, kiss on it, hold its arms up when it comes to voting. But see, the unthinkable happened with these mothers' children. And they're in the right to say, we don't want those photos made public. But now the world has the mind of Michael Moore. And the world don't care who all it hurts. They don't care. All they want to do is get this law through to overthrow the Second Amendment right to bear arms so we can have a democracy in America, so we can have, I guess, some freedom, because when they take your guns, they're not going to stop there. And I'm not politicking this morning. I just want you to know, everybody don't have the Spirit of Christ. Now, Michael Moore, he ought to stay with Michael Moore and quit meddling in other people's affairs. Enough hurt and injury has been done already. Rather than do something like that right there, and for what it's worth, with the same thought in mind, Pakistan that stoned this young boy, 25-year-old young boy, they've got it videotaped, and it's on the internet. I didn't watch it. I wouldn't watch it. But it does say on there that if you do watch it, you'll get nauseated. It'll be more than you can bear. And I would say yes. Well, this young girl that was going to marry this boy, she had to watch it. They made her watch it. But see, that's the Michael Moore and the world type spirit, that not only they want a stone, but they want to deliver an injury as extent to the greatest extent they can. Let me say it like that. So they videotape all this stuff. They put it on the internet. It's not for the squeamish. It's not for the, the faint-hearted. I mean, you got to be calloused in heart to watch something like that. But it's on there. I wouldn't watch it for nothing. It even told how they do it. They bury them in the ground with their hands tied behind their back, Keith. And they bury them in the ground on their heads sticking out of the ground. And if they can somehow get out of that ground and get out of this circle, they can live. Only problem is it's raining rocks down upon them. Well, anyway, I don't really want to elaborate on that. I just want you to know that these people that delivered this woman to Jesus, that's what they want to do, Brother Melvin. They want to stone her. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can say is I'm glad they brought her to Jesus, because had they had their way, this woman would not have been allowed to go in peace. She would not have been allowed to have a second chance. Did you notice what the Lord said? He said, neither do I condemn thee. She is caught red-handed in the act of adultery. He said, I don't condemn you. Go in peace, but sin no more. God's never been for sin. That's why He came down and gave His life a ransom for sin, so that sinners could go free. In this case right here, it's almost like He done a preliminary crucifixion and allowed her to go free. See, I'm the Barabbas. I got to go free. He took my place. Well, here, He's the righteous judge that's going to judge sinners. And let me say this about that so you don't get mixed up. Let me clarify this. The Bible said in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. It says James chapter number 1, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now why I said that is this right here. The Lord wants to forgive you sin. The Lord wants to wash you from your sin. But make no mistake about what I'm telling you right here. Please listen to me. If you die in your sin, you'll have to answer. You'll have to give an account. You'll have to pay the wages of sin. That's why Jesus is giving you opportunity. The same God that said, I gave Jezebel space to repent, and she repented not, is the same God that says, come, let's fix it. Come, I'll forgive you. Come, I'll save you from that dilemma. Amen. I just want you to know that sin, there's nothing good about sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Said there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. But not only is there pleasure, there's payment also when it comes to sin. Jesus wants to forgive you. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to wash you. He wants to help you in that matter. But I'll promise you this, just like that bloodthirsty mob that stoned that young boy, just like this bloodthirsty mob that wanted this woman stoned, I want you to know, buddy, that stuff goes on. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the devil come but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He said in John 8:44 that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. And the reason he didn't, because there ain't no truth in him. He's a lying father of it. But I want you to know, people that murder other people, they're not of the Spirit of Christ. I don't want to kill. I want to help. I don't want to hurt. I want to be there. I'm telling you right now, I'm touched when people call me and say, Brother Eddie, pray for me. Sometimes I'm driving down the road and I say, Lord, I ain't got time to get somewhere and still down and pray. Lord, they need you and they need you now. If you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. I want you to know God's Spirit's a Spirit of love. Yeah. God gets no pleasure in death of the wicked. He wasn't happy when Noah, what's that leader of that recent one just died. He called President Bush the devil. I can't think of his name right now. I've done went brain dead. I'll spit out here in a minute. He got no pleasure when that cancer finally took its toll and killed him. And I'll tell you right now, they had a dictator down there. And somebody help me here. Good Lord. Who?
Bin Laden?
No, not Bin Laden. Hey, he's another one. The one that just recently died down there in Venezuela. Yeah, the one that's over Citgo Gas. I can't spit his name. Hugo Chavez. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hugo Chavez, he succumbed to cancer, not without going to Cuba and doing everything and spending every penny he had to live. His last words, Chris, was this right here. Someone, please help me. I don't want to die. If he'd have put Jesus, please help me. I don't want to die. There might have been some hope for him. But I'll tell you right now, apart from Jesus, there ain't no hope. But thanks God for Jesus. Through Him, we got a lively hope. We got a hope that make Him not ashamed. We got a hope both sure and steadfast and anchored our soul. But Hugo Chavez wouldn't go to Jesus, and most people won't. Man, they got the mind of this world. They got the manners of this world. They want to murder you. They want to mangle you and all that stuff. But I'll tell you right now, that spirit is of the devil. And you know, there God says, blow yourself up. My God says, I died for you. Don't die for me. My God says, go in peace. There God says, if you want to have eternity, you're going to have to take your life. You're going to have to put on a suicide vest and holler Allah Akbar, which means Allah's great, and push the button or let someone make a phone call and remotely detonate you. And I don't really want to spend much time on that. I've got other things to say. But I want you to know that was an unthinkable thing they done when they stoned that 25-year-old boy. Listen, he didn't do anything with this girl. I want you to know they weren't doing anything like fornicating or nothing like that. They just had a desire to be married, and it contradicted the fact she was already espoused to another man, and I've never been a woman, but she didn't want to marry him. And I think sure to have a say in the matter, but over there they don't. They just tell them who they're going to marry, and that's it. Anyway, let me get back to the message here. This woman here that they brought to Jesus, she was guilty. There was no mistake about it. Verse 4 says, she was taken in the very act. I think she's set up. I mean, they wanted something to tempt Jesus with. With that thought in mind, just keep this in mind. They'll set you up. They get joy out of watching you fall. And I have got a little bit smarter, Brother Melvin, out there at work. I have kind of seen this a little bit. How people at work will try to set you up so they can use you for a stepping stone to exalt themselves. So even at work, you got to be careful how you listen, how you talk, and who you listen to and who you talk to, because they don't always convey it as it really is. You got to kind of read between the lines a little bit. Well, in this case here, they've done this on purpose for one thing, that she could be stoned, and another thing, that they could have something to accuse him of because they're tempting him in this matter. But she was definitely guilty. And the Bible does say such should be stoned, verse 5. They're not wrong. That's true. See that verse 5 right there? Now Moses saith in the law, or Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what saith thou? Now, they're making a reference there to Exodus chapter number 20. It does say thou shalt not commit adultery. And it does say if you do, that you're to be stoned. But also it does say in Exodus chapter 20 verse 13, thou shalt not kill. So you kind of got a double standard right here. And she was definitely guilty. And being guilty, they were right in saying such as should be stoned. But I want you to know in Acts chapter number 2 verse 47, it says such should be saved. Hallelujah. I was one of those such. I should have been stoned. Acts chapter number 2 says the Lord added to church daily such as should be saved. I'm glad I got saved. I deserved hell. I didn't deserve to be saved. But I'm glad He put in there such should be saved. And if you're here this morning lost, I want you to know what God's words to you are good. And here they are. You should get saved. You should. Because if you don't, you're going to receive greater than being stoned. You're going to go to that place of the damned. And you're going to spend eternity wishing you had got saved. But I want you to know she was guilty. There's no mistaking about it. She is guilty. But also they is guilty. Because Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 7. And they done that. And that's also mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16, where Jesus said it's written. That's where he's quoting from. Deuteronomy 6:16. But they stoned Stephen in Acts chapter number 7 verse 6. And as they're stoning him, he kneeled down and prayed, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, that's the Spirit of Christ. They had the spirit of these men when they run up on Stephen and gnashed upon their teeth and drug him out and stoned him at the feet of Saul that held the clothes of those that stoned him. But I want you to know they saw something there that day they never forgot. Amen. I believe it had an effect on Saul. I believe he made a mention of that. He said, I was there that day. I saw it. I held the clothes of them to stone him. And I believe those words went down into his heart. And he said, there's something different about this man. He's praying for us. We're stoning him. And he's saying, Lord, lay not this sin to the charge. Oh, I'd like to have a testimony like that, Brother Melvin. I'd like to be able to leave words behind that people couldn't forget. They would somehow get etched on the wall of their mind and they couldn't shake them. And somehow or another they'd take its toll and they'd say, I want what he's got, amen. That's what I need in my life. But she was definitely guilty. But I want you to know Jesus stooped and they stood. They thought they had a right to stand. They continually asked him, thinking they had succeeded in their plan. You know, we got Easter coming up, and two times in this passage it said Jesus arose. I like that. It said, but he arose. And when he arose, Chris, he put the shoe on their foot. Now they found out it wasn't like they thought. It wasn't so easy to stand. He said, let he without sin cast the first stone. And now Christine, they've got the shoe on their foot. Now they don't feel worthy for a rock. Now they realize they're no better than her. Now they realize the one they're talking to is not like them. He didn't say stone them. You're right. The Bible does say put them to death. The Bible does say that. But I want you to know Jesus' ministry wasn't a ministry of death. It's a ministry of life. He come to seek and save those which are lost. He comes seeking. He's a seeking Savior. And the only will He's got's good for us. He loves you. He wants to help you. He'll be there when all are forsook you. He even said, John 14, verse 8, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, glory to God. But they continually thinking they succeeded. But when He put that shoe on their foot, they stooped down again. They slipped out, Brother Melvin. They slipped out. They couldn't stand no longer. They couldn't take no more. They burnt the road. I mean, they left out. Amen. Little girl in the Christmas play, she was trying to quote a Bible verse, Psalms 23. Little black girl. And the verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But that very first verse, Charlotte, she said, "The Lord's my shepherd. He's all I want. I couldn't go a rock one." She said, "He's all I want." Hallelujah. Out of the mouth of babes have perfected praise. She said, "The Lord's my shepherd. He's all I want." Amen. Hallelujah. Alexis, she said it right, honey. She said, "He's all I want." God bless you, Jane. Hallelujah. She said, "He's all I want." I'll tell you right now, I'm more inclined to go with her. He's all I want too. Hallelujah. But oh, listen, when they got that shoe put on their foot, they slipped out. But as they slipped out, Jesus stooped again. But also, I want you to know, verse number 10, He arose again. Look at there. When Jesus lifted up Himself, He's rising. He saw none but the woman and said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Where's all these rock throwers at now? I'm telling you, buddy, when you get the shoe on your foot, all of a sudden you don't feel qualified to throw a rock because you put yourself in the category we all are. We all come short of the glory of God. There ain't none of us ought to have any pink out feathers strutting around, want to be humble, want to be saved, want to try to be more Christ-like. They're gone. He said, "Have no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, boy, I like His words, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He said unto her, man, oh man. You know, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, talking about the devil, said he accused us before God night and day. Said he's the accuser of the brethren. He comes up and he says, "That Eddie Wade, he ain't fit to wear the name Jesus on him. He ain't even fit to be a preacher. He ought not even be able to tell somebody he's saved." But I got an advocate up there in heaven. Matter of fact, I got a friend in high places. And the Bible said, "He liveth forever to make intercession for me." He's sitting right there at the right hand of God. You know what he says? He says, "Father, that's my boy. I love him. I paid a high dollar for him." He might be true in saying this. I don't think he would. But he'd probably say he ain't really worth it, but I love him anyway. And I want him to be forgiven. You know what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32? Just turn over and read it. "Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us." That's how I got to go in peace. That's how I got to hear the words, go and sin no more. Because for Christ's sake, with bruised lips and bleeding, crown of thorns upon his brow, Christine, he said, Father, forgive them. He prayed for me that day on that hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull, when he was giving his life a ransom, when he should have said, Father, destroy them, they're not worthy. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And on that merit, that old accuser now, boy, he's at a terrible loss. He don't have the advantage no more. And he does still accuse me. But I've got an advocate right there, right by the Father. And the Bible said, if I'll confess my sin, He's faithful and just, forgive me my sin, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But glory to God! Hallelujah! For a Savior like that! Hallelujah! Man, oh man, he told her, sin no more. That's what I tell you. If you got a problem with sin this morning, it is a problem. Ain't nothing funny about sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. They make movies about sin. They make jokes about sin. But sin ain't funny. Why don't you go see the end of sin? Go see where the family's weeping. Go see where the cancer has manifested. Go see where the home of people are. They've lost everything because they cook meth or because they have bootlegging or something like that. Go see the end of it. Find out why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For it's the whole duty of man. That verse 14, you better listen to me this morning. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm telling you, I might be in all in the same category, but I've got a big plus. Thanks to that cross right there, I want you to know, glory to God, I've got a big plus. I've got Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've got Him as my advocate. I've got Him as my all in all. And I want you to know one day He's going to present Eddie Wade without spot, without blemish, in His presence with exceeding joy. He's going to say, Father! Amen. He finally made it home. Not to dwell among sin or sinners no more. I get grieved just like you. I get homesick just like you. I just know one day I'm going to wake up in heaven, and the sooner the better, the toils of the road will be over. And I'll start hearing the songs of heaven. I'll start seeing the glory of heaven. I'll see my Savior. He was transfigured before His disciples, and it was so wonderful they didn't want to leave. They said, this is a good place to be. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But Jesus said, we can't dwell here right now, boys. There's still work to do. But glory to God, one day we will go into the dwelling place of our Lord. Amen. I see Him in His glory. I see Him as He is. And hallelujah for that day. Amen. What a sight that's going to be. Father, we thank You to have the privilege to be able to preach Your Word today. I do pray, dear Father, today for the help of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, dear Father, this invitation right now be mighty through God. I pray, Lord, You do Your mighty works. I pray, Lord, every soul be subject to the higher powers today. I pray, dear Father, today that one that's in the far country may come to the Father's house. That one that's in their sin may they come to the saving grace and the mercy of the love of God. Help, Lord, dear Father, in this invitation. Make it real. And I'll thank You and praise You for whatever You do. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please. Think about what's said this morning. Think about that mob that delivered that woman up. Don't let that mob deliver you up guilty before God. Think about it. Think about it. I don't care whether you're young or old this morning. There's any doubt about where you're going to spend eternity? Come on back. If you want prayer, come on back. That's what I'm here for. You need to talk to God, I'll talk to Him with you. I'll pray with you. Christine came down last Sunday, and I never seen such a blessed sight in my life. Brought that little baby milk down right over there. That's been on me all week. What a blessed sight. Good to see a loving mother. Come up here and bring her baby. You need you come as far as you come. Lord, thank you for Brother William. Lord, what an encouragement, Lord, he is to me. To show how simple it is just to step out and come on down. Lord, may he, I pray, stir others, Lord, to come. Oh, Lord, you're worthy. There's sin and war against suffering. Lord, for this right here, you died. That you might be able to be admired among your saints. Lord, I don't know the hearts. I don't know the needs. I don't know much of anything. I just know I'm saved. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded they will keep that which I have committed to him against that day. But Lord, if there is one this morning, you're turning on their heart right now. May they not resist, but may they, I pray, give way and come this morning that you might get glory and honor. Have your way in this invitation. Amen. The Lord says, come. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? You're going to have to do something with him. He's either going to be your Savior or he's going to be your judge. But you won't have nothing to do with Jesus. That's mission impossible. The best thing to do with Jesus is just come and say, Lord, I slipped up. I want to be washed. I want to be forgiven. I want to get back and get standing. I'm telling you, buddy, the Bible said the way of the transgressors fire. I want you to know, buddy, God's in love and turn, saying, come, let's reason together. He says, come, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. You'll find rest in your soul. I'll tell you right now, he told one bunch, John 5, verse 40, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Does that tell the truth about you this morning? Are you willing to step out and come? Are you willing? I'll tell you right now, he's willing to meet you here. He's willing. He's waiting. But you're going to have to be that one that says, Lord, I'm getting tired, not coming. I'm coming today. I've been waiting a long time. I'm new for a long time. I need to come. And today's the day I'm coming. Come on down. Why don't you? Look out here at this illustration right here. That's how simple it is. Little Alexis, little Jane. Now come on, y'all show us how easy it is. This is how easy it is. The Lord's given us an example this morning. God bless you, Caleb. Would you please pray with me? This is how easy it is. I didn't know why she come. And I said, honey, what you need? She said, Brother Ed, I need to be saved. And it's not hard to get saved. It's just hard to get lost. And I told her, I said, what you need to do is you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. You need to ask Jesus to come in your heart and be your Lord and Savior. And she done it this morning. And then I prayed for her and I said, Lord, I want you to manifest yourself in her life. She's young. I want to be tender with young people. And I said, Lord, I want you to manifest yourself in her life that she'll be able to say, I'm saved. I don't want her to say, I'm saved, and her in her heart not be convinced that she is. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I remember the day I said, I was saved. Man, I have to admit, I couldn't say it enough. I said, I was saved. Everybody I've seen that day, it seemed like the more I said it, the more blessed I got. But I'm so proud of you, Alexis. I'm so proud. You done something that's really hard for me. You stepped out and come forward and said, I want to be saved. What a blessing that is. Yeah. And I'm going to write your name down. The first reason I am is I'm going to be praying for you. But also, sometimes you forget what the day was. And I got saved April 27, 1988. And I was no better than you. But the Lord done that thing that He died to do. He saved Eddie Wade April 27, 1988.
Jade's name down too.
Yeah. Did you get saved too, Jade?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. All right. Jade, I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear Gayla. She was over praying with Jade, and I was praying with Alexis. I didn't know that. Hallelujah! Alexis and Jade, we're going to write their name down, and we're going to write down March 17, 2013. The Bible said, "The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His." Now here's what that means, Alexis and Jade. It means Jesus is going to come by. He's going to talk to you like old Brother Eddie talked to you. I was out in farmland yesterday, my truck, and I saw a sheep out there and it had a little lamb behind it. It wasn't no bigger than a little kitty cat, about that big. And I looked over and I seen that boy, it broke my heart. Jesus told Peter, He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. These two little lambs coming in this morning. The safest place for a lamb. It's not with the wolves, but it's with Jesus. That's what they did. They headed to Jesus. And I'll be praying for the Lord to keep them.
Yeah.
Keep them from these wolves. Keep them from the higher temptation. Keep them from the things that would harm them. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart this morning. It ought to be a unanimous word this morning. God bless you, Keith, for bringing your family.
It's been a precious service,
isn't it? Yes.
Holy Spirit here.
Amen.
God bless me, y'all love.
God bless you, Brother Melvin. I'm just like you. I'm in place. I'm about... All I do is keep my shoes on right now.
I'd rather be as bad as the Lord as I'm mounting up the devil, wouldn't you?
God bless you, brother.
But he turned right around and filled me to mount up the Lord as the bad as the devil.
Amen.
But anyway, this precious little kid came. Lord, he said, several little children come unto me.
Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them.
Since you come as a little child, you should know what I was entering into. They set an example for us older people, the kids can't. Being
humble, you know. That's right. And let me say this, the invitation is still open. If anybody, you know, I remember one time we had service over here and it was done all we dismissed and everybody was going out the back and Daniel was sitting back there where Keith is and he wasn't leaving. And I woke up and I said, Daniel, is everything all right? He says, is it too late to get saved? And I said, no, sir. Me and him headed right on down to this altar. He got saved. And I'll be honest with you get saved, it ain't over. It's just beginning. When you get saved, you need to keep in church and you need to read your Bible and you need to pray. Because you got to grow. Peter said, as newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the Word, you may grow thereby. You need to grow. Grow to that stature of steadfastness. You no longer toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Grow to that stature of stability where you can endure hardness and good soldier for the Lord. Well, I've said enough this morning. I'll shut up. Maybe
he's getting more church.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, Keith. Hallelujah. Yeah, he bring him. He bring him, I'll tell you what, boy, he bring him in by the busloads. God bless you, Keith.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
You, I know you're already blessed, but God bless you. Anybody else got anything on your heart? All right, if not, we'll all stand and be dismissed. Don't forget to invite somebody to come back with you tonight. Service tonight's at 5 o'clock. And I thank everybody for coming this morning. And Chris, would you please dismiss us for a word of prayer?
Father, we ask you to be with us, keep ahead of the battle, keep us safe back, and keep here tonight.